Welcome to the We Are Calvary podcast, where our mission is to share Jesus and help people experience life change. Thank you so much for listening. Here's this week's message.
Good morning. My name is Ray, one of the pastors here at Calvary, and we are glad that you're with us on this beautiful, beautiful morning. I'm going to ask your forbearance. I have a cold, and last night was a lot of fun between coughing and sneezing, and so just bear with me if I have to take a break, okay? Thank you. Okay, we're in this series. We're going to start by reading this passage. You've read it the last, or you've actually said it out loud the last 2 weeks. We're going to continue that today. Are you ready? Everyone awake? Good. I hope you're that way when I get done. So let's begin with the word this. You ready? Here we go. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow, that's a place to end. Let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are and the importance you place on forgiveness. Lord, you're not trying to scare us today. You're trying to help us see that there's a whole other world to live in. And that's the kingdom of God. So Lord, help us today as we look at your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. By the way, someone asked me, said, Pastor Ray, are we still going to Israel? In February, we're taking about 100 people to Israel, and some are worried about what's taking place in Israel today. You need to understand, the politics and the things that happen over there happen quickly, so I don't even start really thinking about it until, if we're going in February, probably the end of November. And so we're excited to be going, and we're going to believe that God's going to work all things to his good, and so we're excited. So don't get worried. It's all good. It's all good, at least here. It's all good. So let's get into the word today. How many remember Pastor Taylor's message last week? Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's good. I too was moved by it. That's good. But yeah, I was moved on contentment. Well, if I'm going to be brutally honest, I didn't like it all that much. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you over here. I'll tell you why. It's because it hit too close to home. Because to be honest with you, I struggle with contentment sometimes. How about you? I mean, that's the reality. Sometimes we do. Well, I've got bad news for you. We're going to talk about another topic today that's going to get close to home too, and it's the issue, the topic of forgiveness. Because right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, he spends quite a bit of time on this concept, this issue of forgiveness. And he talks about it. He says, forgive us, Lord. He almost takes it for granted. Forgive us, Lord, as we forgive those who have trespassed our debtors. Then he talks about temptation, but then he comes right back into this concept of forgiveness once again. Well, as I was thinking about that, I thought this flippantly or facetiously. I thought, I'll bet there are people who wish that the Bible would just stay in its own lane sometimes. In other words, wouldn't you prefer it not to deal with issues that we deal with? Wouldn't you rather just talk about God and about heaven and about hope and about a preferable future? But doesn't it get annoying when the Bible tries to tell us how to live? I mean, right there in the middle of this, it's telling us how to live. It's Jesus speaking with expectation on how he wants the people of this world, you and I, his followers, to live today. Jesus directly and indirectly makes demands as to his followers, how they will live not only in heaven, but now, not only in the world to come, but how we live today. That's his cry, that's his desire for us. The tip-off is what we read just a few minutes ago. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, what Jesus is praying in this prayer and he's urging us to do is to focus on not only thinking about heaven in the future, as Pastor Daniel said, but to think about it now, that we, through our prayers and by how we live, are to bring heaven not just up in the future, but bring it into our everyday lives. I use this word a lot because I think there is an air of desperation sometimes that we are desperate to take God's will seriously. Does that make sense to everybody? Take it seriously in my own personal life and then in the church. No one should be taking the will of God more seriously. I mean, to be honest with you, if I were to head off on a tangent, and I won't, but if I did, you can't expect the people out there who don't know Jesus to take the will of God seriously. It comes down to you and me. It comes down to you and me. We're the ones who are called to take his will seriously today. Pastor Daniel put up a slide that as I was looking at it, I was moved by it, and it said this. It said, we choose, and this is kingdom culture, by the way, we choose kindness instead of judgment. We practice forgiveness rather than revenge. Well, that's a kingdom principle. That's a heavenly principle that is vital for us to understand, to get our head around today. It's important, but I tell you, that's not how we read it sometimes. In the world in which we live, what happens actually, and this is called world or earthly culture, we choose judgment instead of kindness. We practice revenge rather than forgiveness. And it's not only that we do that, sometimes we're happy to do it. Sometimes we not only practice it, but many take pride in the choice to judge others instead of extending kindness, because kindness sounds a little silly or a little weak. And so we choose things that are not of the kingdom of God, that are not of the heavenly realm. Many believe it's their right to seek vengeance instead of extending forgiveness. And Jesus is saying over and over, he makes it plain in the Gospels, he teaches on forgiveness a lot. And this is the problem. It's a problem because the value Jesus places on forgiveness and the role it has in the will of God. See, a lot of us, we get this idea that things like contentment are on the periphery. Things like forgiveness are out there on the fringe. And what Jesus is trying to get you and I as his followers, the people to whom it should matter, he's trying to help us to understand that forgiveness isn't one piece of God's will. It's one of the primary ways that God's will takes place on earth. Now, did you catch the nuance there? In other words, it's not simply a part of the kingdom of God. Forgiveness, just like contentment, is a way that God's will is lived out in this world today. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done. And then he moves right into, forgive us as we forgive others. Forgiveness isn't a side request. It's not like I went to, Mary and I on the way back from California, Anaheim, went up a different way and there was a Cracker Barrel. Well, I still love Cracker Barrel. The food's gone down a little bit, but other than that, I love you can get the sides. I got okra. Some of you don't even know what okra is, and that annoys me greatly. But I got okra, and that's a side you can get. Well, here's the thing. Forgiveness is not a side you get with your meatloaf. Forgiveness is the means by which the kingdom of God is extended into the world around us. Forgiveness is the means by which your kingdom come, your will be done, is actually lived out in the world today. God's will isn't something that happens around us. It happens through us, especially in how we forgive those who have wronged us. Now, when we forgive, you just need to know that is a primary way that we are fulfilling God's will in the world around us today. In that space, heaven and earth, when we're forgiving, heaven and earth come together. I want you to think about heaven's culture. Let's think about heaven's culture for just a moment when it comes to relationships, when it comes to how we treat, excuse me, when it comes to how we treat one another. In the kingdom of heaven, there's no such things as grudges. There's no such things as debts. There's no such things as record keeping of wrongs. There's no relational fractures. So when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're asking for the same things that happen in heaven to happen on earth. Are we tracking together? When we pray that prayer, we're saying, God, let the things of heaven, let the things of your kingdom become real and evident in our world today. And so what we're talking about in terms of forgiveness, when we say your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're praying that debts will be released. We're praying that mercy and justice will triumph. We're praying that relationships are restored and that, frankly, relationships matter more than issues. For the last 5 or 6 years, issues have mattered more than relationships. I'm just going to tell you, that's not the will of God. That is not kingdom principles. No matter you think it is, I'm just telling you it's not, so you don't have to wonder about it. It's not. It's not about issues. It's about being who God has called us to be. You know, I love it when people focus so much of their lives. And again, I'm trying to be respectful. I really am. But sometimes I run across people who are spending all their time trying to take the teachings of Ezekiel and Revelation and trying to sort out when Jesus is coming, trying to figure out the date, what has to happen, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I really appreciate, though the Bible tells you not to do that, but, you know, to spend our time there and you know, rather than to think on the things that really do fulfill the will of God, such as forgiveness today. We think more of how end times will come. And I think when it comes to end time prophecy and eschatology and all these things, it's better, the Bible said, I'm pretty sure it was Jesus himself, be ready that whenever I come, be ready. I mean, don't know the hour, don't know any of that stuff, but just be ready. Live every day as though you're ready. And one of the ways we live as people who are ready is we practice and we live out this concept as the will of God, this concept of forgiveness. You know, so many times you say, well, I don't understand this or that. You know, to be honest with you, I think forgiveness is something we can all get our head around. I really do. I think more often than not, I think it was Mark Twain who said it, but I'm not really sure if you look up who it's attributed to. But he basically said something like this: it ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts I do understand. And I think we can all understand. Forgiveness isn't that hard to understand. But being forgiving is really hard. It's one thing to understand it, but being forgiving is really hard. Based on the teachings of Jesus, the clearest way we know that the kingdom of God has arrived is when forgiveness becomes commonplace. Not issues, but when forgiveness becomes commonplace. When we take the word seriously of Mark chapter 11, that before we even lift up a prayer to God, we've made sure that the decks are clear of relational problems. That if there's anybody we need to forgive, we're not going to utter a prayer until we take care of this forgiveness between you and someone else, me and someone else. We know that we're living in that special place of the kingdom of God, and it's arrived when forgiveness is something that we take seriously among brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. That we no longer let things go, but that we're serious, because we know that the way that the will of God is lived out in the world around us is through a forgiveness of spirit, where we extend forgiveness one to another. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. It's when the kingdom of God is here and is alive and well, heaven has come to earth, when indeed we begin to show mercy daily. Not demand justice, not demand our rights, but demand mercy, but ask for and extend mercy to others. It's when we're actively praying, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we practice contentment, when we forgive those who have trespassed against us, then the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, has come down to earth. You know, we can talk about the kingdom of God all day long, but we cannot live in the kingdom without forgiveness. It's one thing to talk about the kingdom. One thing to talk about the kingdom, but you cannot live in the kingdom without a heart of forgiveness. It's central to our following Jesus. It's central to our discipleship. There's some things about forgiveness that I think we got to get a handle on as a people, the people of God, the children of God. You know, Jesus said these words, and as you read this passage of Scripture, you get the idea that he just takes it for granted. He said, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Right? I mean, look at the text. And forgive us our debts. And the assumption is that we have become a people who forgive those who have trespassed or created debt with us. Everything in our lives as followers of the Lord Jesus begins right here. And forgive us our debts. Everything starts with the mercy that we have received, not the mercy we deserve, not the judgment we deserve, but the mercy we have received from God the Father. Because of sin, the Bible tells us that we have an obligation. And to be honest with you, the Bible is pretty clear that it's an obligation we cannot hope to manage, we cannot hope to pay. Because of sin, it's an obligation we cannot satisfy. And in this context, it's using courtroom language. There's a record that exists. and forgive us. There's a record that exists. There's a payment that's required, and we can't pay it. Yet the Bible said, God in his mercy, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And, you know, I'm not big on using this term, but, you know, sit in that for a moment, the immensity, the enormity of what God has done for you and for me in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ today. The forgiveness is overwhelming. I was a sinner, and I deserved to be on the cross, and Jesus took my place. The reality for you and me today is that our lives are built on what I would call a divine pardon. A divine pardon today. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We couldn't possibly save ourselves. We needed a Savior. His name is Jesus. And here's the thing. We can talk about forgiveness all day long, but until we understand the depth of forgiveness we have received in Christ, forgiveness toward others feels unfair and unnecessary. If I don't get my head around all that I've been forgiven, then it seems like it's unfair that I should forgive others. If I don't understand the depth of forgiveness I did not deserve but received. We can't forgive others until we realize how much we've been forgiven. Jesus naturally assumes that the forgiven person will become a forgiving person. It is an assumption that he makes, not occasionally, not selectively, but to all. Not because we have achieved some special spiritual status or a spiritual maturity, but because of grace that hopefully has taken root in our lives because of God's unmerited favor, we begin to share grace with those around us, even though they don't deserve it. Because, and I'm gonna tell you, this is where we get pushback on forgiveness. God calls us to forgive people that haven't necessarily changed all that much. Well, now, wait a minute, Pastor Ray. There are times the wound still hurts. They don't deserve forgiveness. And I know what some of you are thinking. Well, Pastor Ray, if you knew this guy that I knew, they don't deserve my forgiveness. They did this, this, and this, and they did this and this, and that still small voice. When you're saying they don't deserve forgiveness, you can hear the words of the Lord say, neither did you. Neither did you. And yet God, by grace, the unmerited favor of God, forgives me even though I did not deserve it today. By the way, forgiveness is not saying that what they did was okay. I hang out with Mary from time to time, my wife, and she does this series called Brave, and she's never one time ever shared with me any of your stories. For you ladies and men who are sitting in this room today, never one time. But what she has said to me, she said, and sometimes with a brokenness of heart, now Mary comes from a background that was hard, it was abusive, it was wrong. I mean, it did a number on her. And Mary will come and sit with me, and she'll say things like this, Ray, I just read someone's story, or I listened to them tell their story, and Ray, my family, what happened in my family is like a trip to Disneyland compared to what took place in them. We're not saying that there's not things out there. We're not pretending that bad things don't happen to good people. But what forgiveness does is, forgiveness is saying, you know, whatever it takes, I'm going to stop holding them hostage. And I'm going to tell you something else. When we get in the spirit of forgiveness, you stop holding yourself hostage as well. Does that make sense to y'all? It's not simply about them. It's about us. It's about what we're dealing with. Forgiveness. And the Bible said this, and I've never understood how this ends up right in the middle of a teaching on forgiveness. But Jesus said right in the middle between these two verses on forgiveness, he said this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, maybe that stands on its own, and maybe it doesn't. It depends on who I read. But I got to tell you, my first question as the Lord laid forgiveness on my heart to talk about this topic, my first thought was, why is that right in the middle of a teaching on forgiveness? What was Jesus trying to say? I mean, what's the big deal about temptation? What's the big deal about the evil one, right when he's trying to get us to focus in on forgiveness? Now, when I got done, to be honest with you, I thought, Well, now, wait a minute. Temptation and the evil ones certainly have to do with forgiveness. Because I do think when we forgive people, we do face temptations. And I'm going to tell you, the evil one is definitely interested in whether you are a forgiving person or not. So maybe, just maybe, it was his intent to put it there so that we would start thinking. Now, John MacArthur said these words, that in this verse, Jesus isn't talking about temptation or the evil one in terms of theology or logic, but he's talking about, you pray that prayer, lead me not into temptation. By the way, if I can just go off on a tangent here, James chapter 1 tells us that God doesn't lead us into temptation. Jesus is talking about our heart posture. What he's saying is, we need a heart that says, I don't want to be led into temptation. What Jesus is saying is, I don't want to be under the thumb of the evil one. And so the believer's heart posture and a desire to avoid the dangers of an unforgiving heart. So it starts with this, forgiveness. If we're gonna be serious about forgiveness, forgiveness doesn't end the battle, it starts one. I mean, seriously, haven't you come to the point, a lot of us are, we've reached a level of maturity, I hope, that sometimes when you say, I forgive you, that's not the end of the story, that's just the beginning. Right? I mean, that's just the reality today. It starts something. After we forgive some stuff, when we forgive, there's stuff that just doesn't want to let go. I mean, truthfully, there, just because you forgive that person, I'm going to tell you, the memories are still there. And the memories still hang on. And from time to time, I guarantee you, I can tell you for me, and I'll bet for you too, that emotions, though you've forgiven them, there are emotions that want to rise once again. That anger and that frustration and that hurt, it doesn't just stay dormant, but every so often it rises again. Everyone with me today?
Yes.
And so that's the battle that you and I, that we face. Old wounds reopen. Old wounds. And the temptation, here's the temptation. The temptation is to reclaim the debt that you released in that person. Because honestly, for whatever reason, we love to hold on to debt. We love to keep a record of wrongs committed against us. When it comes to the evil one, in your anger, Ephesians, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. What that passage in Ephesians 4 said, anger is a foothold for the enemy. I'm going to tell you another foothold. How many know what that is? It's unforgiveness. It's a foothold. That when we live in that spirit of an unforgiving heart, it gives the foothold to the enemy of your soul, that we open up doors and windows to let the evil one in and to play havoc in our relationships, in our homes, in all of these different things in our lives, because we open the door through an unforgiving spirit, an unforgiving heart, and an angry heart. Unresolved anger gives a foothold and opportunity, so does unforgiveness. That hardens hearts. And I just want to be clear about this, and you know how I feel. There are as many hard hearts inside this building as out there. That's the truth. In our experience, we've seen it. Hardened hearts. That spirit of unforgiveness that fractures relationships, that opens the door of the evil one to accusations and to bitterness and to division, to broken relationships. Because we valued the wrong things. We didn't realize that if we want the will of God in our lives, in our families, in our world, then we were going to have to take the will of God seriously. And the will of God, whatever you think it is, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's contentment. It's forgiveness. It's the tangible ways by which we actually live out the will of God. The will of God doesn't happen out there and impacts us. The will of God lives through us into the world around us. We are conduits of the will of God today. We have to fight the temptation to take our forgiveness back. And believe me, I've lived there. I know what I'm talking about today. The evil one doesn't want the kingdom of God active in this present world. Bible tells us if you forgive other people when they sin against you, and this is when it gets real. Jesus isn't trying to scare us with this passage. He's wanting us to understand that this thing is real. You can't put forgiveness on the back burner. You just can't do it. It is the will of God. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But the opposite is also true. If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is a wake-up call for us. Jesus is interpreting his own prayer. He doesn't say, if you understand forgiveness. He doesn't say, if you feel like forgiving. No, no, no. He puts it pretty straightforward. If you forgive, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. If you don't forgive, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. He shoots straight. Forgiveness reveals our heart posture, whether we understand grace as a concept, and a lot of church people do. I understand the concepts of grace, and what Jesus wants to say, if you want to really live in grace, then be a forgiving person. If you want to experience the fullness, the reality, the power of the unmerited favor of God, then become a person who forgives. But Pastor Ray, I understand the feelings. I've been there myself. But there comes a point where I want the presence and the will of God more than those feelings, because those feelings will live and they will die, but the grace of God will live eternally within each and every one of us today. We prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm gonna tell you something, I'm gonna shoot straight. You can't pray that prayer sincerely. I can't pray that prayer sincerely if I have an unforgiving heart. You can't pray one thing and harbor this over here. And what Jesus is wanting his followers to understand is that there has to come a moment where the life that we lead aligns with the will of God. Aligns. Unforgiveness contradicts the very thing we're asking God to do. Now, these words aren't to discourage, they're to wake us up to the importance of forgiveness. If I'm holding on to unforgiveness, then there's a deeper problem in my spiritual walk. Y'all caught that? Say, well, the issue's unforgiveness. No, there's a deeper issue there. There's a deeper issue of grace and living in the presence and the unmerited favor of God. That's what has to be dealt with. See, a walk is never proven by our prayer. It's proving by my willingness to forgive someone. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. You guys can read this story when you get home, Matthew 18. I'll just, real quickly, there's this king, he wants to settle accounts with his servants, and there's this one servant who comes in and he owes 10,000 bags of gold. How many know that 10,000 bags of gold is a lot? And what Jesus is doing in this picture that he's painting in Matthew 18, he's taking all the principles of Matthew chapter 6 and he's elaborating and putting into a parable form what he's teaching. He said there's this guy who comes in and he owes 10,000 bags of gold. And what this servant says, well, if you'll just give me more time, how many know you can have all the time you want? You're never going to pay back 10,000 bags of gold. You're just not going to do it. So what does the king do? The king, the Bible said, cancels the debt. Now, my friends, how many, if you or I had owed someone 10,000 bags of gold, let's say several million dollars, and they just canceled the debt and said, you don't have to pay it. How many think that would be a happy time in our lives? Happy, happy, happy. I mean, I got to tell you, I'd be walking out of that room about 3 foot off the ground. I'd be so happy. I'd be calling everybody I know. The king just forgave me. I'd be so thrilled. I don't have to pay back 10,000 bags of gold. Praise the Lord. I'm so thrilled. But that transformation didn't happen in this servant. What's the Bible say in Matthew 18? It said that when he left the building, he's walking down and he sees someone who owes him a day's wages. A day's wages, 100 denarii. And what does he do? He starts choking the guy. When will you pay me? And throws him and his entire family in prison. Is that the right response? He's just been forgiven all this stuff. And he does that? How many know where this story goes? Right here. It comes right back to me and it comes right back to you. What Jesus is saying is, you know what? You've been forgiven so much. Grace is abounded to you. How can you be someone not to forgive someone else what they have done to you? The servant was forgiven but wasn't transformed by the mercy he received. Grace touched him, but it never changed him. Grace touched him, but it never changed him. A heart that refuses to forgive has to ask what their life is built on. If your life is built on the overwhelming grace of being forgiven 10,000 bags of gold and the mercy and the grace you found in Jesus, that's one thing. When we lose sight of what we have been forgiven, what others still owe us start to feel big again. See, that 100 denarii that the man owed the servant, it felt large because the man didn't realize what 10,000 bags of gold really look like. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother and sister who sins against me?" And Peter is wanting a pat on the back. So he says, "Up to seven times?" "Up to seven times?" Jesus said, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77," or in the text, 70 times seven, which some of you have already done the math because we love to calculate. So is Jesus saying I have to forgive 449 times? No, what he's telling you to do is lay down your stupid calculator. That's what he's saying. Lay down your calculator, because it's not about calculating the amount you're supposed to forgive. It's about taking up a habit of forgiving those around us, of forgiving those around us today. Jesus is not talking about calculating. He's talking about a new way of living. He's saying, stop counting. Forgiveness in the kingdom isn't measured or tracked or rationed out. It's given freely, and Jesus knows you will be wrong. You will be wrong today or tomorrow or the next day, so forgiveness has to match the grace that you live in and that you have received. If it doesn't, then bitterness takes over your life. Bitterness. Last passage of scripture as we close today. When did the service start? 9:30? Okay, I'm just checking. I was in the kitchen blowing my nose, so. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said. Here's the thing. Jesus will never ask of us what he's not willing to do himself. You say, well, you didn't finish it. I will. I just want you to understand that before he says these words, I just want you to remember we celebrated Good Friday and Easter just a few weeks ago. Let's just recap real quickly. He's been spit on. He's been mocked. He's been humiliated. He's been beat up. He's been scourged with the cat of nine tails. He's had a crown of thorns pressed upon his head. And then he has carried his cross to the skull, the place called Golgotha, where his hands and feet, he has been nailed to a cross and hung between heaven and earth. I just want to make sure we all understand that when he says these words, he has endured more than my worst day ever. And what does he say? Father, forgive them. Jesus never asks of us what he's not willing to do in his hardest moment. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. So as we close today, I want to ask a couple questions. Who is it? Who is it? Say, well, what's he talking about? You know who I'm talking about. Who's that person that owes you? Who is it that when I start talking about this whole issue, who came to your mind? Who is it? Second question is this. How long have you felt they owed you? A day, a week, a month, a year, several years? How long has this person owed you? Because that's it. You feel like you're owed an apology, this or that. You're owed. Isn't it time? You know, I told you at the first, the reason, you know, contentment and forgiveness, this forgiveness thing, I hate it when Jesus points me to a text, not for you, but for me. It drives me absolutely crazy. Because I'd rather preach at you than preach at me. But there are those moments when the Holy Spirit says, Ray, who is it for you? And I knew instantly who it was. Just like that, I knew. I knew how long it's been. Not 2 weeks ago, I sat with another friend and I explained to him why this guy owed me, why he owed me. And what's really hard about that is I feel justified. don't you? Well, they did this, and they didn't do this, and he never called, and he should have. I hate messages that require a response from me. Say, what's the response? Well, I either got to call him or get on a plane, fly down to California. If he matters that much to me, I'll get on a plane. And I'll go down and I'll sit with him. And can I go off on a tangent? I don't even have time for this. I sat with one guy who wanted to offer me forgiveness. He basically said, you know, Ray, you did these things and that's why I acted badly. Between you and me, that's not extending forgiveness. That's justifying your rotten attitude. Real forgiveness isn't about them. Real forgiveness is about you. It's about me. So I have something I have to do this week. Would you bow your heads with me just for a minute? Just real quickly. Maybe you're here today and it's not about someone else. Maybe it's about you. Maybe you need forgiveness today. Oh, the good news is while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And God waits to extend forgiveness to you. Unmerited, undeserved, pure grace. If you're here and you need forgiveness, with no one looking around, just lift your hand and say, that's me. I see your hand. I see, a lot of us in this room. As you've heard this message and the Spirit of God speaks to you, who in this room says, you're not the only one that's got to do something with this. There's someone I need to forgive in my life. Lift your hand because I want to really pray with you. Sure. Last question I'm going to ask before we pray is this question. What are you tempted? What grievance, what wound, what hurt are you tempted to take and pick it up again? If the enemy, the evil one, wants you to pick up a hurt and rehearse it and keep going over it, if that's you, if you're tempted to do that right now, lift your head and say, that's me, Ray. Sure. Well, Lord, you see a bunch of honest people here in this room. We're desperate for your kingdom to come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we want to be a part of it. We want you to work through me and through us today. Lord, for these who need forgiveness, we pray that they would understand that you're real and that you love them and that you forgive. You forgive and restore and renew and reconcile them with you. Lord, for those who know who that person is that they've got to take care of business with. Because your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is more important than whatever the disagreement was about. Lord, for me and for others, give us Holy Spirit power to take care of that today. Lord, for those who are tempted after forgiving someone to take back up the offense and to rehearse it and to continually think about it right now in the name of Jesus, we push back against that in the name of Jesus by your Holy Spirit. This all happens because of your grace and mercy to us. May we who've been forgiven much forgive others much. In Jesus' name. Stand with me as we sing together.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to partner with us in sharing Jesus and helping people experience life change, you can support our mission by clicking the link in the description. If this message has impacted you, please subscribe and share. To learn more, visit wearecalvary.com. We'll see you back next week.